Phoenix fans, how are your nerves today? Ugh. I mean, for those of you that aren't up to date, let me give you a quick recap. Today is the day the Phoenix find out whether they are A-League Men's Premiership winners. It all hinges on whether Adelaide United can beat Central Coast Mariners tonight. But a draw or a loss, it'll see the Mariners leapfrog the Phoenix into first place. So it is a bit of a nerve-wracking one. No matter tonight's result, though, both the Phoenix and the Mariners, we've got a straight path to the semis. But the premiership title would surely make it all the sweeter. So come on, the Phoenix. Come on, Adelaide. Let's get this thing done. Anyway, kia ora, this is Newsable. I'm Jess, and this is what's worth talking about. The clock is ticking for TikTok in the US as the government gives the social media giant a deadline to sell its US operations. The property market is stagnating, along with the rest of the economy. How long will things be on hold? The latest breakfast advice is bad food to start the day is worse than nothing at all. And you can't say you weren't warned. The terrifying cicadageddon is upon us. All that coming up in a moment here on Newsable.
Newsable takes time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit stuff.co.nz/support.
Now, I don't want to speak for you guys, but I spend a good portion of my day on social media, despite it, you know, definitely rotting my brain. But the US government, well, they're less in love with it, particularly TikTok. They don't like TikTok. There are worries about the amount of information that could be gathered via TikTok that could be then used by the Chinese state. President Joe Biden has signed a law which will ban the platform in the US if the Chinese owners don't sell the platform's operations in America. But why such drastic action? Well, to chew that over, we're joined by News Hub's US correspondent, Mitch Buchanan. Mitch, thanks so much for coming on.
Jess, thank you for having me.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about what Joe Biden, or more likely the US government's problem is with TikTok that's resulted in this ultimatum?
Well, this has been going on for a number of years now, and it's finally resulted in a vote from Congress here in the United States. And I really concern some of these congressional leaders that TikTok will be able to access the data of American users, and then maybe use it if they want in the future to push propaganda to Americans. And at the moment, it's a very innocent app from what we can see. It's just dances and things like that. But it's actually where a lot of people get their news. And that's one of the main concerns from lawmakers here in the US.
Interesting, because I was going to say that to you. I don't know the last time you opened TikTok, but it's not exactly, hey, these are where the nuclear submarines are, is it? It's pretty lighthearted stuff, but the idea that then once you've got that access to users, you can then show them whatever you like.
Yeah, that's right. And it is 170 million Americans. So it is the majority of the country really are on TikTok. Yeah, there's a real concern here because ByteDance is the company that owns TikTok, is Chinese owned. And the US government is worried that if the Chinese government asked ByteDance for some of that information, they would have to hand it over. So that's a real concern. But the other thing that is frustrating TikTok users is they can't see a lot of the intelligence that's being shared among US lawmakers because it is so highly classified. Yeah. Now, the director of the National Intelligence here in the US was asked a month ago, could they guarantee that the Chinese Communist Party would not use TikTok to influence the US election? They replied, we cannot rule out that the Chinese Communist Party would use it. So there are some real concerns over here from US lawmakers.
What have the owners said about the possibility of selling their US-based operations?
Oh, they're very unhappy about it. They say it's completely unfair. No information is going to the Chinese government. In fact, they're willing to go to court. But what they've also done here, and I've seen this at home, is they've launched a massive ad campaign on TV across America telling people how great TikTok is. They're getting people like small businesses that have done really well on TikTok and they're getting a lot of money from TikTok to tell Americans how well it's held their small business. So they're trying to frame it in that way. And I have to say, living in New York, there are a number of businesses that have become popular with tourists here, people that come from New Zealand, because they see it on TikTok. So it is helping a lot of businesses, but the overriding concern from lawmakers is that they can take that information.
Yikes, yeah, and you're right. You've got a whole kind of cottage industry with businesses and influencers essentially making their income on this app. Okay, so if it does go to court, does that mean that nothing is really going to happen until that is sorted? Because I'd imagine it's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court eventually.
Well, the way things work here is that it takes a very, very long time for anything to be decided when it does go to court. So the court action could actually delay this for a long time. But if it doesn't go to court, which seems unlikely at this stage, ByteDance have 9 months. The US government has given them 9 months to be owned by another company that's not ByteDance, that's not Chinese owned. So they're saying they're not banning TikTok. They just want it to divest from its Chinese owner. And they would like someone else from around the country to own TikTok. So that's how they're framing it, that they're not banning it, but that's how it could be seen.
So if I'm an American TikTok user, I've obviously got this news coming to me from the government that TikTok is bad because the Chinese government could use it against me. And then I've also got these ads on TV telling me not to worry about it because the bakery down the road is now super popular because of TikTok. So what's the American TikTok user thinking right now, do you think?
It's a difficult one. I think there are so many different views on this. The first thing that I'll say is that most political arguments in the US are either very one way this way or one way that way. But actually with TikTok, a lot of the Democrat and the Republican Party have come together to enforce this ban. So it's very unpopular with a lot of TikTok dancers and news users and whatever, but not among our leaders because they've all come together and decided this is the way forward. But I think there are some very, very unhappy dancers in this country at the moment, Jess.
Who will dance to the new Beyonce album if not on TikTok?
I know.
That is Mitch McCann, News Hub's US correspondent. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, so off the back of that chat with Mitch, it's poll time. Do you trust TikTok? Yes or no? To have your say on that, make sure you head over to our Instagram or the Stuff website to vote. Just search us up on NZ Stuff. And if you want to expand on your TikTok thoughts, you are very welcome. All you need to do, send us an email, newsable@stuff.co.nz. The doom and gloom around the cost of living crisis is filtering through into the housing market, with two property reports both showing prices remaining virtually unchanged last month. CoreLogic talks about a flat market with its house price index edged down to 0.1% in April and an average New Zealand property value now at $933,633 to be exact. Realestate.co.nz reports a decline in demand, with the CEO Sarah Wood talking about a cooling of buyer interest. And Sarah Wood, thankfully, joins us now. Kia ora, Sarah. Thank you so much for coming on Newsable. Now, this is all looking a little bit flat and, to be honest, not very exciting. Why is everything sort of on hold at the moment?
Look, it's an interesting time of change, I guess. You know, there is certainly some economic factors that are impacting the current market, but also the interest rates as well. So, you know, they are sitting a lot higher than they were. There are people that are still rolling off those lower rates onto those higher rates. I think also the market has got a lot of properties for sale, which is actually a really good thing, but does also change the dynamic as well.
So some places, I mean, they always buck the trend, don't they, Sarah? Queenstown is one that always comes to mind, presumably. But what are the other places that are doing that?
Yeah, look, Queenstown is bucking the trend. And, you know, what I'd say about Queenstown is they get a decent amount of international traffic on our site. So we have people that are coming in from overseas that are also looking at Queenstown, as well as Kiwis buying into it. The other place that's been interesting is West Coast, which I think is a really affordable place to buy. And that has certainly picked up in terms of its average asking price as well. So that's had a bit more interest.
So what's different about the places, I mean, apart from Queenstown, which sort of stands out in its own category, but the other places that are seeing better prices, is it down to affordability generally that's making a difference there?
Look, I think it varies. We've seen certainly, you know, there are coastal areas in New Zealand where we've had an increase in the number of listings, but also it will depend on how cities are evolving and changing in terms of the size of those cities and interests. You know, we've seen a lot of people that have moved, you know, out of Auckland, for example, and they're working in remote or hybrid working environments. So they're actually locating to cities that are closer to big centres like Auckland or to Tauranga or Wellington. So, you know, it varies.
Okay, so you mentioned interest rates, Sarah. They're obviously a huge factor in this, but we know immigration is at a record high. That normally kind of gives us a bit of a boost in the market, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting about immigration, because I think, you know, you've got to be able and ready to buy when you come into New Zealand for that to change. You know, there are properties certainly transacting like they always are in markets. I think what's interesting is that there are just a high number of properties that are on the market now. So at the moment, there are 33,000 properties for sale, which is a high compared to 2015. So that's the key dynamic that's changed. It's actually so much availability.
Do we know who is buying? I mean, earlier this year, it was sounding like it was a good time for first-time buyers, and they seem to be dominating in the market. Are they still out there, or have they been kind of spooked by this and those continued interest rates?
Oh, look, I think first-time buyers are always out in the market looking at those options. And I think depending on where they're trying to buy, there are certainly lots of options available for work for first-time buyers. I think having options is really helpful. And what we're seeing with the stock levels being higher is that, you know, there's lots of choice for them across the range.
All right, let's crystal ball gaze for a minute. Let's look into the future. Always a tricky one. When do you think things could start to improve? Is this going to just be a wait until there's some kind of movement on interest rates, whether that's later in the year or even possibly next year?
Look, it will be interesting to see. And I think there are two parts to it. You know, there is it's about property selling through at the moment. So there is a lot of homes for sale. There's a lot of options for buyers. And I think that combination of that and, yeah, potential change in interest rates would certainly create interest in the market again as well. But it's hard to know what the timing of that is.
Very good to chat. Thank you so much. That was Sarah Wood, the CEO of realestate.co.nz.
It appeared that a vehicle may have gone over the 80-metre cliff into the sea.
There have been no bodies found despite considerable debris being washed ashore.
9 years ago, a man named John Beckenridge abducted his stepson, Mike Zhao Beckenridge. Soon afterwards, they vanished. Nearly a decade later, there is still no sign of Mike or John and no agreement about their fate.
The family believe that they are residing overseas under new identities.
The court should find that sadly Mike and John Beckenridge have died as a result of the vehicle being driven off the cliff.
Now, a new investigation is trying to find out what happened to them.
From Stuff Audio and the Press newspaper, this is The Lost Boy, the disappearance of Mike Zhao Beckenridge. Listen on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, Zagata Geddon is here, and it is as weird as we promised it would be. Find out why some in California are calling the police over these little critters. And a reminder, if you are enjoying these Zagata Geddon updates, chuck us a like and a follow on your favourite podcast platform. It'll help other people find us. Breakfast. Often a controversial meal, maybe. I mean, many of us don't eat it. Nutritionists will tell you it sets you up for the day, but what about the wrong sort of breakfast? New research out of two Australian universities suggests eating an unhealthy breakfast could have a similar effect as eating nothing at all. They involved students doing a science class, got them to do a test, and those that ate a healthy breakfast did best, naturally. But interestingly, those who ate an unhealthy breakfast did the same as those who skipped eating altogether. So to have a chat about all things breakfast, we're joined by nutritionist Claire Turnbull. Kia ora, Claire. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hello.
So can you tell me what's going on here? I mean, you would think that surely eating anything, even something not so healthy, would be better than eating nothing at all.
That's kind of been the story for a long time, hasn't it? You know, just get them to eat anything, which allows your kids to justify, buy me the sugary cereal, because they know that, you know, you'll give in because you want them to eat something. But the reality is that depending on what the food is, depends on how well it's going to impact your body and how well your brain will work off the back of that. And actually, our body's got inbuilt systems that actually can help regulate your blood sugar level and do things without you eating food. So this is kind of the swing effect of saying, is it really better to eat something rather than nothing? Maybe not, when, you know, that food is not that nourishing.
Claire, were you surprised, though, that when the students were asked to set that test, that actually eating a bad breakfast meant they performed as badly as someone who ate nothing at all, given that there are those body mechanisms you mentioned to swing in if you haven't eaten anything?
Yeah, I mean, this particular piece of research doesn't actually take into account things like sleep and exercise and other things that could easily also influence the way that these teenagers are doing things. But no, it doesn't surprise me, really, because what we eat affects how we function and how we perform. And also how well you eat also sometimes indicates how healthy the rest of your life is, right? So if people aren't eating well often it's people that aren't sleeping well, often it's people that aren't doing enough exercise, and so on and so forth.
So Claire, if your brain is not just needing food, if it's needing specific things, what is it that's actually, you know, in a healthy breakfast that gives your brain the things that the rubbish breakfast doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, we need fuel that basically is released slowly by the body. So when you're having something that's carbohydrate rich, sugary, and it's released into your bloodstream quite quickly, you get a big peak of blood sugar, and that's just not a helpful thing for your brain to be able to sustain throughout the day. So any carbohydrate, you want it to be slowly absorbed, so something like oats rather than the sugary processed breakfast cereal. We need protein, so protein helps stabilize the blood sugar levels and it helps you feel fuller for longer. So if you're having yogurt as part of that breakfast, that's better than just kind of a handful of snacky cereal or just a piece of white toast and jam.
Okay, can I just play devil's advocate there? Because that sort of breakfast with the oats and the seeds and the yogurt and all the good things, it sounds two things. It sounds expensive and quite time intensive for the morning routine.
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, oats are like a couple of cents for a quarter of a cup. Like if you actually look at the cost of making porridge versus a commercially bought breakfast cereal, it's actually cheaper. When you buy an unsweetened yogurt in a larger tub, it is cheaper than ready-made drinks that kids are buying with their money from the dairy. So it doesn't have to be expensive.
Of course, as well, this isn't just kids we're talking about. I mean, if you looked at the diet of anybody before they have to go to work early in the morning, or maybe they're in a rush, you're going to be seeing a lot of quite dodgy eating, a lot of maybe caffeine going in there.
This is the challenge with our busy modern world where, you know, there's not enough time. There's often people running around in households and you're not hungry. And then you make one poor choice in the morning and then that leads to another one and then you haven't slept well. One of the key things I would say, you know, when you're trying to eat well, is eating well starts with a good night's sleep. Why? Because when you sleep well, the hormones that regulate your appetite and help you make the right, your healthier choices with food are better.
Agreed. Everything is much better after a good night's sleep. Thank you so much, Claire. That was brilliant to have a chat. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay, cast your minds back for me if you don't mind. You may remember at the start of last month, the start of April, Immo told you about this thing called Zirconium. So it was trillions, yes, that's right, trillions of cicadas that were forecast to emerge from parts of the United States. Numbers reportedly not seen since 1803. And to make things even weirder, some of these cicadas that were set to emerge have an STI that turns them into zombies. It's bizarre. Anyway, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but the cicada apocalypse is underway. It is upon us, though thankfully still in the United States. Cicadas apparently are so loud now in parts of Southern California that residents are calling the police asking why they can hear sirens or a loud roar. Now, the Newberry County Sheriff's Office, they had to send out a message on their Facebook page last week letting people know that the whining sound is just a male cicada or thousands, trillions, millions of male cicadas singing to attract their mates after more than a decade being dormant. Now, the sheriff reminded everyone that the cicadas pose no danger to humans or animals. And unfortunately, they said, the sound is just the sound of nature. Well, in my opinion, nature needs to tone it down a little bit because that sounds outrageous. I'm sorry to the people of Southern California. May the cicadas move on soon. That is Newsable for today. I'm Jessie McCarthy. Kia pai tōra. We'll catch you next time.
If you like this podcast, please support our work. Visit stuff.co.nz/support.
Kia ora, I'm Adam Blair. I played the great game of rugby league for the Storm, Tigers, Broncos and the Mighty Warriors.
And I'm Goran Paladin, sports presenter and rugby league fanatic.
I won a World Cup too. I played 51 tests for New Zealand.
Yeah, he's a national treasure, people. Come on. Blairy and I, we're joining forces for a brand new rugby league podcast called League of Our Own.
Each week we talk Kiwis across the NRL and of course everything Waz.
All the big names, the big stories.
And some of my own stories too.
Well, if we can make them fit.
We'll make time.
Okay. League of Our Own with Blairy and Goran. Proudly brought to you by Snap Rentals.
You can listen through stuff.co.nz or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mate, your stories are way too long, eh?
Nah, we've got to take them on a journey.
Oh, the journey. Yeah, of course.